tefillah, prayer, which the Talmud refers to as avodah shebalev, worship of the heart, has a very prominent role in Judaism as the most direct mode of communication between man and God. When I was conducting research for my dissertation, I asked my students when they felt closest to God. And the vast majority of subjects responded that they found tefillah, prayer, more religiously meaningful than any other religious ritual. Their conception of prayer, however, which in their minds was petitioning and requesting from a compassionate father figure, I felt was somewhat lacking. I'd like to analyze with you today the multifaceted nature of prayer in order to better understand and approach God in our avodah shebalev. In order to understand the components of prayer, I think it'll be helpful to look at Rambam's conception of prayer in his works. Rambam Maimonides, who lived from 1138 to 1204, was the most prominent halachist and philosopher of medieval times. His halachic work was called the Mishneh Torah, and it served as a guidebook for the masses, for those Jews in his generation who were no longer able to decipher the Gemara. Those Jews, the masses in his generation, were not as learned as those from generations before. He therefore wrote a very accessible, a very user-friendly code of law to explain to these Jews how they should lead a halachic life. His philosophical work was called the Mor Nevuchim, the Guide of the Perplexed. And this sophisticated text was not intended for the masses like the Mishneh Torah, but rather exclusively for the intellectually elite, for those Jews who were deeply committed to Judaism and to tradition, but who felt conflicted, who felt perplexed due to the seeming contradictions with what Jewish teachings had always taught them versus the philosophy that they were being exposed to in their secular educations. So first I want to look at Rambam's approaches to prayer in each of his works, and then we'll try to unite his divergent teachings to uncover his cohesive theory. So if you look in source number one, in the Mishneh Torah, Rambam's halachic work intended for the masses, Rambam defines avodah shebalev, worship of the heart, as tefillah. And we see this in source number one. In Hilchot Tefillah in the Mishneh Torah, the very first parak, the very first halacha, he says, Mitzvat aseh lehitpalel b'chol yom, she'ne'emar v'avaretem et Hashem Elokeichem. Mepi hashmua limdu shavodah zo hi tefillah. She'ne'emar v'lavdo b'chalvavchem, imru chachamim, Ezohi avodah shebalev, zo tefillah. So he says in the very first parak, in the very first halacha, that it's a positive commandment to pray every day. And he learns it out from the pasuk, v'lavdo b'chol levavchem. You should serve him, God, with all of your hearts. And the chachamim ask, what is this service of the heart? What is this avodah shebalev? And they respond, zo tefillah. Avodah shebalev is defined as prayer. He goes on to delineate the ritualized formula of prayer, beginning with shevach, praise, then beseeching from God, asking God for our requests, bakasha, and that's followed by expressions of thanksgiving, hodaya. And he describes this ritualized formula in source number two, the very next halacha. Chiyuv mitzvah zo kach, הוא שיהיה אדם מתחנן ומתפלל בכל יום ומגיד שבחו של הקדוש ברוך הוא. So it's a mitzvah, it's an obligation for everyone to pray every day. And one starts with saying shevach, praise to Hashem. ואחר כך שואל שרחב שהוא צריך להם בבקשה ובתחנה. And afterwards, he asks for his needs through requests and through supplication. V'achar kach noten shavach b'hodaya l'Hashem al tova sheshpia lo kol echad l'fi kocho. And after that, he offers thanksgiving for all that Hashem has provided him with. Kol echad, every individual is commanded to pray this way, l'fi kocho, according to his capacity. Elsewhere in the Mishneh Torah, in his halachic work for the masses, in Hilchot Brachot, He elaborates that this process of shevach, bakasha, and hodaya is in order to continuously be cognizant of God. And we see this in Parak Aleph Halacha Gimel in source number 3. He says, Uvrachot rabot takanu chachamim derach shevach hodaya v'derach bakasha kidei lizkor et haborei tamid af al pi shelo nehene v'lo asa mitzvah. So the brachot are decreed in such a way by the chachamim of including the shevach, bakasha, and hodaya in order to constantly remember our Creator, even when we are not engaged in a particular mitzvah. So from these sources we gather that the halachic model of prayer is petitionary. We stand before Hashem, our Creator, and we supplicate, we request our desires. Very similar to my students' conception of prayer when they were responding to my questions in my interviews. However, in Rambam's philosophical works, he presents a very different approach. Rambam, the philosopher, takes issue with the halachic model of petitionary prayer, since philosophically speaking, God is unchangeable, he's immutable. Therefore, the whole objective of petitionary prayer, of trying to affect God in such a way that he changes his intentions for us, is philosophically unsound. So Rambam, in his philosophical works, presents a very different model of prayer. He first presents it briefly in the philosophical part of the Mishneh Torah, in his Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, and then far more extensively in his Mor Nebuchim. In these philosophical references, instead of advocating for petitionary prayer, as he did in his halachic work, he argues for a contemplative approach. Instead of petitioning God in prayer, one should rather contemplate God's greatness. In the Mishneh Torah, in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, the philosophical part of the Mishneh Torah, Rambam explains to the masses that one approaches God and achieves love and fear of God through contemplation, through observing God's ways and how he is manifest in this world, namely through his creations. And we see this in source number 4. In Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah, Perek Bet Halacha Bet, Rambam writes, V'hech haya haderech lavato v'yirato, how does one come to love and fear God? B'sha'a sheyitbonen ha'adam b'ma'asav, uvro'av hanifla'im hagdolim. He comes to love and fear God at the time that he contemplates, sheyitbonen, at the time that man contemplates God's actions and God's tremendous, magnificent creations in the world. And when he observes how God's ways are manifest in this world, when he observes God's creations, he recognizes that such creations are the product of tremendous chokhmah, of a chokhmah she'en la'erech velo keitz, of a boundless, of an infinite wisdom. Miyad, immediately, ho'ohev u'mishabech u'mifa'er u'mitaveh ta'ava gedola li'edah Hashem ha'gadol. Immediately, when he recognizes the magnitude of God's creations, he loves God, and he expresses his praise for God. U'mita'aveh ta'ava gedola li'edah Hashem ha'gadol. And he has this tremendous desire to know God. Kamo she'amar David, saman nafshi l'Elohim l'kel chai. Just as is expressed by David in his tefillah, in his tehillim, when he says, saman nafshi, my soul thirsts for God. U'kemishachev, bidvarim ha'elu atzman, miyad hu nirta l'achorav, v'pachev yodesh hu b'riya ketana shfala afela. Immediately, when he recognized the magnitude and the wisdom of God's ways, of God's creations, he recoils and man experiences tremendous fear and tremendous dread by recognizing his own insignificance in contrast with Hashem. Omedet b'da'at kalam uta lifnei tamid de'utz. He he recognizes how limited, how little he is in comparison to the infinite intelligence, to the tamim de'ot of Hashem. Kamo she'amar David, ki ar'esh shemecha ma'aset bo'otecha, ma'enosh ki tizkereni. Just as David expressed in his tefillah, just as David expressed in his tehillim, in Mizmor Chet, when he says, when I look, when I reflect upon your shamayim, ma'aseh etzbotecha, the intricate works of your fingers, Hashem, ma'enosh ki tizkereni, I wonder, why do you even pay attention to the lowliness of man? Why do you even acknowledge, why do you even remember man? ולפי הדברים האלו, אני מבאר כללים גדולים ממעשה ריבון הלמים, כדי שיהיו פתח למבין לאהוב את השם, כמו שאמרו חכמים בעניין אהבה שמתוך כך אתה מכיר את מי שאמר והיה העולם. Rambam concludes this halacha by saying that based on these concepts, he will explain the important principles regarding the deeds of Hashem. To provide a foothold for the person of understanding, for the mivin, to develop a love for God. Just as Chazal said regarding love for God, in this manner you will recognize He who brought the world into being. So God's essence is ultimately inaccessible to man, but God reveals Himself through His actions, through His ways, through His creations. And therefore, man must contemplate Hashem's ways in our world in order to come to an understanding of Him. We see this notion of understanding God through His ways and not through His essence in Rambam's interpretation of Shemot Perek Lamed Gimel, where Moshe asks Hashem, Hodieni na et darkecha, v'har'eni na et kvodecha. Moshe asks Hashem, let me know your ways. Show me your glory. Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim interprets these requests to mean that Moshe was asking to better know, to better understand God. Hashem responded no to Hareni na et kvodecha, to letting Moshe see his essence, but he responded yes to Hodieni na et darkecha, allowing Moshe to see his ways. And we see this in Rambam's interpretation in source number 5. He says there, know that Moshe made two requests and received an answer to both of them. One request consisted in asking him, may he be exalted, to let him know his essence and true reality. That was when Moshe said, Hareni na et kvodecha. The second request, which he put first, was that he should let him know his attributes, Hodieni na et darkecha. The answer to the two requests that he may be exalted gave him consisted in his promising him to let him know all his attributes, making it known to him that they are his actions, and teaching him that his essence cannot be grasped as it really is. His request regarding the knowledge of God's attributes is conveyed in his saying, show me now your ways that I may know you. As a result, one can come to know God through contemplating the world in which God is manifest, and not through understanding God Himself. Love of God, as we saw in Hilcha Yosodei HaTorah, accompanies this intellectual contemplation of God's world. Rambam elucidates that it's precisely this contemplation that constitutes the ultimate level of human perfection. At the end of the Mor Nevuchim, in Book 3, Chapter 54, he describes the hierarchy, or the stages, of how man can achieve the true human perfection. If you look in source number 6, letter A, he begins with the lowest form of perfection, and that is the perfection of possessions, material perfection. And he explains as follows. The first and the most defective, but with a view to which the people of the earth spend their lives, is the perfection of possessions. That is, of what belongs to the individual in the manner of money, garments, tools, slaves, land, and other things of this kind. Between this perfection and the individual himself, there is no union whatever. There is only a certain relation, and most of the pleasure taken in the relation is purely imaginary. He will find that all this is outside his self, and that each of these possessions subsists as it is by itself, and have no permanence. So Rambam explains that the lowest level of perfection is a material perfection. And this is the lowest level because it doesn't have anything to do with you personally. It's just about things that are external to you. And those things that are external to you don't have any permanence. They're fleeting. So he goes on to give the next level of perfection. And this he describes as physical perfection, perfecting yourself in terms of attaining and amassing strength. And he says that this type of physical perfection, the second species, has a greater connection than the first with the individual self, being the perfection of the bodily constitution and shape. Neither should this species be taken as an end, for it is a corporeal perfection and does not belong to man, but qua animal. For man has this in common with the lowest animals. Moreover, even if the strength of the human individual reached its greatest maximum, it would not attain the strength of a strong mule. Utility for the soul is absent from this species of perfection. So this second level of perfection is higher than the first because it pertains to the individual himself, but it's not the ultimate form of perfection because this is not unique to man alone. Rather, an animal can achieve a higher form of physical perfection than humanity. So he goes on to delineate the third level, a higher stage of perfection. And this he describes as moral perfection, the perfection of one's moral virtues. And he explains this in letter C. The third species is a perfection that to a greater extent than the second species subsists in the individual self. This is the perfection of the moral virtues. But this species of perfection is likewise a preparation for something else and not an end in itself. For all moral habits are concerned with what occurs between a human individual and someone else. Consequently, it is an instrument for someone else. For if you suppose a human individual is alone, acting on no one, you will find that all his moral virtues are in vain and without employment and unneeded, and that they do not perfect the individual in anything. So while moral perfection is a higher level of perfection than the previous two, it's not the ultimate form of perfection, because in order to be moral, you need to have somebody that you're acting morally to. And therefore, it's not a perfection for the individual himself. And that leads him to the final form of perfection, the fourth species. And this perfection is what he describes as contemplation, as understanding and attaining an intellectual notion of God. And this we see in letter D. The fourth species is the true human perfection. It consists in the acquisition of rational virtues, the conception of intelligibles, which teach true opinions concerning divine things. This is in true reality the ultimate end. This is what gives the individual true perfection, a perfection belonging to him alone, and it gives him permanent perdurance. Through it, man is man. So we see here, from these levels of perfection, that the ultimate objective of man is to fulfill his potential by contemplating God and arriving at a proper understanding of him. This is a unique perfection to humanity, and this is how humanity is able to transcend and fulfill its potential. When such intellectual development is achieved, and the individual is able to continuously focus on God, he connects to God with what Rambam here in his philosophical work defines as avodah shebalev. And we see this philosophical definition of avodah shebalev in source number 7. He says there, if, however, you have apprehended God and his acts in accordance with what is required by the intellect, you should afterwards engage in totally devoting yourself to him and strengthen the bond between you and him, that is, the intellect. The Torah has made it clear that this last worship to which we have drawn attention in this chapter can only be engaged in after apprehension has been achieved. It says to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Now we have made it clear several times that love is proportionate to apprehension. After love comes this worship to which attention has been drawn by the sages, who said, this is the worship of the heart, avodah shebalev. In my opinion, it consists in setting thought to work on the first intelligible and in devoting oneself exclusively to this as far as is within one's capacity. So here we see the philosophical definition, according to Rambam, of avodah shebalev. It's once one has achieved the intellectual apprehension of God through contemplation, one needs to focus on God, and that is how he serves him. That's how he worships him with the heart. Ultimately, through such communion with God, by connecting with God, he achieves what Rambam discusses as providence, God's concern for and protection of the individual, which is merited through contemplation. And we see this notion in Rambam's discussion of providence in the next source. He says there in source number 8, according to me, as I consider the matter, divine providence is consequent upon the divine overflow. Providence watches over everyone endowed with intellect proportionately to the measure of his intellect. Thus, providence always watches over an individual endowed with perfect apprehension, whose intellect never ceases from being occupied with God. On the other hand, an individual endowed with perfect apprehension, whose thought sometimes, for a certain time, is emptied of God, is watched over by providence only during the time when he thinks of God. Providence withdraws from him during the time when he is occupied with something else. So man was created b'tzelem Elokim, in God's intellectual image. By developing one's intellect, man is able to transcend himself and is able to enter into communion with God. And through this, he merits divine providence. We see this necessity of contemplating God in Rambam's very famous palace metaphor. It's in this mashal in which he describes a palace with a king sitting in it, in the antechambers. And he describes various classes of subjects at varying distances away from the palace. The nimshal, or the lesson that the parable is coming to teach, is that only the individuals who are intellectually developed with regard to the divine, who are able to understand God properly, only they are able to approach God, or the king, and enter into the antechambers of his palace. And we see him describing this explicitly in his nimshal, in his interpretation of the parable, in source number 9. He says there, those who have come up to the habitation, meaning to the palace, and walk around it, but they're unable to actually enter it, are the jurists, are those people who study the Talmud, who believe true opinions on the basis of traditional authority, and study the law concerning the practices of divine service, concerning the halacha, but do not engage in speculation concerning the fundamental principles of religion, and make no inquiry whatever regarding the rectification of belief. If, however, you have achieved perfection in the natural sciences and have understood divine science, you have entered into the ruler's place, into the inner court, and are with him in one habitation. So Rambam is explaining through the palace metaphor that it's only those who achieve intellectual apprehension of God who can be described as worshiping him truly. Those who merely observe the mitzvot without any kind of intellectual reflection on the theological questions, according to Rambam, have no access to God at all. So it seems to be from the philosophical sources, from his discussion in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah in the Mishnah Torah, and from his extensive discussion throughout the Mor Nevuchim, that the ideal of prayer, philosophically, is contemplative. So that leaves us with a striking contradiction between the petitionary model of prayer in its halachic model, in the halachic works of the Mishnah Torah, versus the contemplative paradigm in the philosophical approach in the Mor Nevuchim. So some have tried to reconcile the contradiction by arguing that the petitionary prayer is for the masses, the audience of the Mishneh Torah, whereas the contemplative prayer is for the intellectually elites, the readers of the Mor Nevuchim. Some have even tried to sharpen the distinction by claiming that the philosophically problematic petitionary prayer is simply a necessary belief. Rambam in his Mor Nevuchim distinguishes between true beliefs and necessary beliefs. He describes true beliefs as those beliefs that are philosophically sound, that are true, that should be achieved by the intellectually elite. Whereas necessary beliefs are beliefs that are not philosophically true, but should still be taught to the masses in order to motivate them to act properly. For instance, Rambam says that the masses should be taught that God will get angry and punish you if you don't act properly, if you don't follow his mitzvot. Now, philosophically speaking, God does not have emotions. God does not get angry. But Rambam still encouraged the teaching of this necessary belief to motivate the masses to avoid sin. So as a result, some have argued that contemplative prayer is the true belief, while petitionary prayer is the necessary belief for the masses. But I take issue with these suggestions, since prayer is a divine command, which is obligatory for all Jews. Everyone is commanded to petition God, as explicitly stated in Hilchot Tefillah. And everyone is also encouraged to develop intellectually through contemplation, according to his capacity, as is stated in Hilchot Yesodei HaTorah. The fact that included within the Mishneh Torah, which was intended for the masses, is the philosophical imperative to know God in order to love God, that proves that intellectual development through contemplation is incumbent upon all Jews, even the masses, and is just further elucidated in the Mor Nevuchim for the philosophically elite. Therefore, I don't think Rambam's conception of prayer should be compartmentalized, but rather should be united as one cohesive approach to prayer for all Jews. Even though Rambam presents the contemplative life as the ideal life in his philosophical works, he was very cognizant of the human condition and its integral involvement in our physical world. Rambam teaches that it's only after achieving one's highest level of intellectual perfection that one can begin actually to fulfill the mitzvot as they are meant to be observed in our worlds. Prayer, too, is a mitzvah, which thus can only be fulfilled properly after one knows as much as one can about God and about God's universe. Such knowledge, such contemplation, is what enables man to have kavana, which is truly the essence of prayer. I think the Rambam is teaching that the individual needs to develop intellectually through contemplation to properly apprehend God as the source of all need and to develop an understanding of what is truly valuable. And it's only then that he's in a position to appropriately petition God. The essence of prayer is not a wish or an expectation that one's petition will be granted, but a duty to proclaim that God alone is worthy of prayer, since he alone is the source of all of our needs. Rambam's attitude towards prayer, without proper understanding, can be viewed as similar to how people misunderstood the mitzvah of mezuzah. In his halachic work in the Mishneh Torah, which was intended for the masses, the same text where he develops the model of petitionary prayer, he writes in source number 10, in his Hilchot Tefillin, the mezuzah, that many people inappropriately viewed the mitzvah of mezuzah as a means of protecting their home from the ayin hara. There in source number 10, Rambam describes these people with this misapprehension as tipshim, as fools. He says there, she'elo hatipshim, לא די להם שבטלו המצווה, אלו שעשו מצווה גדולה שהיא ייחוד השם של הקודש ברוך הוא, ואהבתו ועבודתו, כאילו הוא כמיה של הניית עצמן, כמו שעלה ליבם השחל, שזהו דבר המענה בעבלי עולם. He says, these fools not only fail to fulfill the mitzvah, but they treat an important mitzvah, which is related to the unity and the love and the worship of God, as if it were some amulet to promote their own personal interests. Because in their minds, the mezuzah is something that will give them some advantage in the vanities of the world. So people's misuse of the mitzvah of mezuzah for the purpose of protecting themselves and their homes, instead of really reminding them of God's presence, is similar to how people misuse tefillah for the sole purpose of wish fulfillment and fail to recognize the true essence of prayer. When a person loves or fears God because of the good God gives to him or the bad that he prevents from happening to him, he's really just loving himself and fearing his own harm and is not concerned about God, but rather what God can do for him or to him. Here, Rambam is teaching how to love God and how to fear God on a higher level, in appreciation of God's true being. Rambam does believe in the efficacy of prayer, but cautions that one should not pray in order to achieve some interventional providence, but rather one should pray as a duty of worship in order to express the unconditional love of God achieved through contemplation. This exercise of prayer, if one doesn't have the proper understanding, is therefore in vain if one doesn't recognize the praiseworthiness of God. One needs to approach God intellectually to the extent that humans can, and only then supplicate God. Through such intellectual development, one will gain an understanding of what he truly needs, rather than what one happens to want at any given moment. Even though contemplation is necessary for prayer, it's not the exclusive ideal. Petitionary prayer, therefore, is not superfluous to the contemplative ideal, but it's a crucial expression after man has achieved, through his contemplation, the proper conception of whom he is petitioning. Understanding the greatness of God, being aware of our ultimate dependence of everything on God, and acknowledging God's generosity in providing for everything in the universe are all achieved through contemplation and necessary for worship. And each of these elements is expressed in halachic prayer, in petitionary prayer. We express the greatness of God through our shevach, through our praise. We are aware of the ultimate dependence of everything on God through our asking our bakashot, our petitions from him. And we acknowledge the generosity of the divine sustenance of the universe through our hodaya, through our thanksgiving. Thus, the basic elements of contemplative life are integrated into our daily life through petitionary prayer. A deeper purpose and meaning for the ritualized prayer is realized through the philosophical contemplation. So it's through prayer that the individual discovers himself. Man reveals in prayer his innermost secrets, clarifying in his own mind what his real values are, while standing before God, therefore meriting through his tefillah his own personal growth as well as his connection with God. Contemplation and the dialogue form of petition are therefore not mutually exclusive, but rather complementary aspects of Rambam's conception of prayer. That's why Rambam associates the rabbinic phrase of Avodah Shebalev, worship of the heart, both in his halachic discussion in the Mishneh Torah of the dialogue form of petitionary prayer, which is composed of Shevach, Bakasha, and Hodaya, as well as in his contemplative prayer, described in his philosophical work, described in the Mor Nebuchim. Rambam developed his theory of prayer in order to establish a religious experience within the ordinary physical world that would afford contemplative transcendence as well as pragmatic supplication. This integration of the philosophical contemplative within the halachic model of tefillah is evident in the Mishnah Torah. If you look in source number 11, there, in Hilchot Tefillah, Perek Dalet Halacha Tet Vav, he explains to the masses, Kavanat Halev, Ketzar Kol HaTefillah, She'ene B'Kavana, Eina Tefillah. He says there that Avodah Shebalev, or Tefillah, without Kavana, does not constitute Tefillah. So how does one achieve this Kavana necessary for Tefillah? Through contemplation. And we see this in source number 12. Ketzad hi ha-kavana, shifane et libo mikol ha-machashavot, v'yira etzmo ki'ilu hu omeid lifnei ha-shechina. He says, how does one achieve this kavana? By turning his heart from all of the machshavot, from all of one's conflicting thoughts, and seeing himself as if he is standing before the Shechina, standing before the presence of Hashem. Not only do we see this integration of the pragmatic halachic with the philosophical contemplative in the Mishnah Torah, but we detect it in the final paragraph of Rambam's philosophical work, of his Mor Nebuchim as well. The Mor Nebuchim is the guidebook leading us from a view of God as pure intellect, whom one emulates through contemplation, to a view of God as he is manifested in this world, whom we emulate physically through our observance of mitzvot and through our tefillah. We see this notion in sources 13 and 14. If you look at the end, the last three lines of source 13, he says there that the way of life of such an individual, after he has achieved this apprehension, meaning intellectually through contemplation, will always have in view loving kindness, righteousness, and judgment through assimilation to his actions, may he be exalted. And then again in source number 14, for the utmost virtue of man is to become like unto him, may he be exalted, as far as he is able, which means that we should make our actions like unto his. We see by the end of Rambam's philosophical work a transformation from a purely philosophical position of God as intellect to a religious philosophical notion of God as the object of worship and the model for imitation. Petitionary prayer plays an important role in the internal transformation of the contemplative ideal into the ethic of imitatio Dei, of imitating God, in which the individual not only knows God, but strives to imitate his ways. Such a conception of prayer fosters recognizing God amidst all of our daily human concerns. The infusion of the theological, of the philosophical, within the pragmatic was not an innovation that was initiated by Rambam. Bach Ya'ibn Pikudei, who lived a generation before Rambam, recognized the neglect of the contemplative in his society. He lived in the 11th century in an environment where religious devoutness was expressed through meticulous halachic observance. But no attention was really paid to one's internal intentions. Everyone in his generation was focused so much on being so makpid in the halachic physical observance of the mitzvot, they failed to devote much attention or much effort to really thinking about why they were doing what they were doing and why they were believing in their beliefs. Bach therefore wrote his sefer entitled Torat Chovot HaLevavot in order to address this need. In the sefer, he distinguishes between Chovot HaEvarim, which he describes as the obligations of the limbs, the physical mitzvot, And the chavot halevavot, the obligations of the hearts, the intentions, the beliefs, the sentiments. And he explains that the chavot halevavot, which had been neglected, should really come first and foremost, and are integral, they're necessary, in order to properly do the chavot ha'evarim, to do the physical halacha. And we see him state this explicitly from the get-go in his Sefer, from the introduction in source number 15. He says there, the science of the Torah falls into two parts. The first aims at the knowledge of practical duties, and is the science of external conduct. That he describes as the chavot ha'evarim, the obligations of the limbs. The second deals with the duties of the heart, namely, its sentiments and thoughts, and is the science of inward life. That's the chavot halevavot. A careful examination by the light of reason, scripture, and tradition of the question of whether the duties of the heart are obligatory or not convinced me that they indeed form the foundation of all the mitzvot, and that if there is any shortcoming in their observance, no external duties, no chavot halevarim, no halacha, no mitzvot, whatever, can be properly fulfilled. Bach's belief that the chavot halevavot, coming to an understanding of God through contemplation, is necessary in order to fulfill one's halachic obligations, is very consistent with Rambam's argument that contemplative prayer is integral to achieving halachic prayer. This infusion of the contemplative ideal into the halachic prayer was not exclusive to medieval times, to the times of Bach and to Rambam, but it's evident in contemporary thinking as well. Rav Soloveitchik, both in his discussions of prayer in Worship of the Heart, as well as in The Lonely Man of Faith, describes prayer in like terms. If you look in the final two sources, sources 16 and 17, he describes prayer, Avodah Shebalev, similarly to how we've analyzed it in Rambam's works. What then is prayer? It is the expression of the soul that yearns for God via the medium of the word, through which the human being gives expression to the storminess of his soul and spirit. The act, the ma'aseh of prayer, is formal, the recitation of a known said text. But the fulfillment of prayer, its kiyum, is subjective. It is the service of the heart, avodah shebalev. The intention, kavana, required for prayer is not like the kavana required for other mitzvot. With prayer, just as Rambam said, kavana is the essence and substance. Prayer without intention is nothing. He continues on in The Lonely Man of Faith in the following source to describe prayer as basically an awareness of man finding himself in the presence of and addressing himself to his maker. And to pray has one connotation only, to stand before God, just as Rambam stated. To be sure, this awareness has been objectified and crystallized in standardized definitive texts whose recitation is obligatory, namely, halachic prayer, petitionary prayer. The total faith commitment tends always to transcend the frontier of fleeting amorphous subjectivity and to venture into the outside world of the well-formed objective gesture. So for the Rav, the essence of prayer is kavana, which is achieved through contemplation. This kavana is expressed through the obligatory and objective halachic tefillah. So through prayer, man's intellectual achievements enable him to transcend new heights in his physical life. It's only through the consistency of the daily routine of halachic prayer, which necessitates one's constant recognition of standing in the presence of God, that such heights can be achieved. When I interviewed my students for my dissertation research, they explained that they felt closest to God when davening exclusively when davening for a sick friend or for relief from a terrorist attack in Israel. Now, while it's certainly commendable to pray on behalf of others, and it's even religiously mandated, it's often easy and quite natural to view prayer as wish fulfillment. The challenge of the worshiper is to approach God not only in times of dire need, but to consistently be aware of standing in God's presence and continuously assess oneself and one's priorities. We do this through the ritual, through the routine of halachic prayer. By understanding God and his world to the extent that it is humanly possible, the worshiper will be better prepared to approach God in prayer as the source of all need and petition for that which is truly valuable. He then will be able to transcend the mundane through the ritual of prayer, thereby uniting the philosophically contemplative and the halachic petitionary ideals.